Blog Talk Radio. Beat to Radio.
Once again, it's your man DJ Bizzle in the building. Welcome to Beef Stew Radio. We are in the building, Uptown Saturday Night Jams. Yes, sir. K. Nicole in the building in the background. She had a great show last night, Addictions, talking about the addictions. Tonight's show is Have the GOP Learned Their Lesson? Basically, I'm asking the question, you know, after the election and everything went down, do anybody out there think the GOP has learned that they need to try to reach a lot of people in different ways? There's questions that I'm going to read an article to you guys.
By the way, Obama won Florida.
Yeah, by the way, Obama won Florida fully 100%, 332 to 306. So just for anybody that thinks that, let's, yes, 206, 332 to 206, so that was a blowout, basically, you know, so I don't know where they was getting. Now, there was a poll going on, and it was a question that was asked, have the GOP became a cult? And I'm gonna read some of the, what some people says. One Tube Guru, he says, yes, nasty venom filled with rhetoric that used to reserve for their outer most extreme lunatic friends have now been adopted by the GOP as part of their mainstream political doctrine. It looks like a cult and acts like a cult. Logic would dictate that it is a cult, whether or not. Now, people is out there. It's starting to be real big out there. The GOP. Both parties are not rotten. They're saying, this is what somebody else said. This is what Maximum says. Maximum says both parties are not rotten in quite the same way. The Democrats have their share of machine politicians and careerists and corporate bagmen, egomaniacs and kooks. Nothing, however, quite matches the modern GOP, this person says, Maximum. To those millions of America who have finally begun paying attention to politics and watched the exposition of the tragic comedy of the debt ceiling extension, it may have come to as a shock that the Republican Party is so full of lunatics. To be sure, the party, like any political party on earth, has always had its share of crackpots like Robert K. Doran or William E. Dane Meyer. But the crackpot outliers of the two decades ago have become vital symptoms of today. Stephen King, Michael Bachman are the leading presidential candidates as well. Paul Brun, Patrick McHenry, Virginia Fox, Louis Gohmert, Alan West. The congressional directory now reads like lunacy. This is what's going on. A lot of people right now are feeling that the GOP is now like a cult. It's like a cult, man. It's just the truth. I'm not gonna say that y'all are a cult, but a lot of people are starting to believe you guys got the crazy guys that you guys have in the cult now. Sorry, because you guys having a cult now is crazy. And that's just one of the things that people out here is asking now. Is the GOP a cult? Have they learned their lesson? What will they do in 2016? What are they going to do in 2014? Some Republicans say, oh, we need a change. Some Republicans says, no, we don't need a change. We don't need more blacks. One Republican said, we just need blacks and Puerto Ricans to spread our message. That's going to be real hard to do. Now, another person asks, when did the GOP become whiners? That's deep. You know what I mean? And it started with a lot of different things, man. You know, they started whining over a lot of different things. It just didn't start with the Romney trip, embarrassing disasters. You know what I'm saying? When he went overseas and they started whining. The Romney's family actually whined more than anybody that I've heard. Real truth. The Romney family has whined more than anybody that I've seen in any political thing in their family. Now, big money loss, but not relieved. Big money, no loss, but big money, but don't be relieved. Now, a lot of these dudes lost a lot of big money in this joint. This is how much a cult they is. Those who oppose the 2010 Citizens United Supreme, 2010 Citizens United, you know, Supreme Court ruling and explosion outside money and politics might be breathing a sigh of relief that more than $1 billion in outside money, $1 billion in outside spending in the federal elections, which heavily favored Republicans, did not seem to buy the results that the big spenders wanted after all. Most of the candidates backed Karl Rove, Crossroads groups, and the Chamber of Congress, beginning with Mitt Romney, lost their races. But those concerned about the role in the money politics shouldn't be relieved. Not at all. Here's three reasons why. The biggest problem with money in politics is not that it buys election results, but it can school legislative priorities. Senators and members of Congress already spend ridiculous amounts of time raising money for their next election campaigns and to help fellow party members get elected and stay in office. Big outside money is going to make this money chase worse. It's not enough to worry about what your opponent can raise. Now billionaires across the country can put $1 million or more against you at the drop of a dime at any time and take position that billionaire doesn't. Just like if you took a position that the billionaire doesn't like, the fundraising frenzy will never cease. The potential for massive outside spending, which many reflect the purposes of just one of a handful of people, will change how Congress considers and passes legislations. Let's talk about Sheldon Adelson, the casino magnate. You know what I'm saying? Dropped $60 million or more in this election without making a dent in his net worth. How many members of Congress do you think would be interested in supporting a gambling legislation, which Addison's opposes? And if they do, and if they want to oppose Addison, members would have to raise even more outside money to try to level the playing field. All right, that's it. Most worrisome when it comes to the legislation screwing, it is what we as the public don't see. What we get left out of the legislation, small favors buried in fine print, things that get killed in the committee. Sometimes a lot of money is riding on these invisible legislative choices. You know what I'm saying? So people don't even know what be going on sometimes. You know what I mean? It be little small things. Money still matters in campaigns. No serious student of American politics believe that the candidates with the most money always win. You know, no people believe that the candidate with the most money always win. After all, look at Linda McMahon. You know what I mean? Who spent more than $100 million on her own money and two bids to become senator for Connecticut. But money gets candidates second, third, fourth looks. Even those candidates are lousy and don't deserve it. Consider Newt Gingrich in the Republican presidential primary. He survived as long as he did only because of money from Sheldon Adelson. And cross races, money can make a difference. Republican U.S. Rep. Dan Logan of California lost a close contest in his race thanks to in part a large amounts of outside spending against him. Not coincidentally, You know what I'm saying? That Lundgren had been one of the first Republicans in recent years to call for campaign finance reform to curb the influence of outside money. A Sunlight Foundation analyst found at least four House races were outside money where people had tipped the outcome. At the presidential level, the unprecedented amount of outside money made the Obama Romney race competitive where it otherwise would have been not been. While Obama succeeded in most keeping up with the Republican fundraising machine, and Obama also seemed to spend his campaign dollars a little bit more wisely than they did, it's not clear that the future Democrat candidates will be able to replicate the Obama fundraising strategy of today. Raising massive amounts of money for tens of millions of small donors, and if big outside money in the presidential elections leans towards corporate interests, it will keep the candidates those interests back on edge in the close elections. So that's how it is, man. You got to think about that. Secret money is growing. Number three is secret money is growing and is dangerous. Thanks to the holes in the closure laws, which the Republican Congress so far have not seemed to, interest in fixing. They have not got an interest in fixing it. Much of this outside spending is going through groups who don't even disclose their own donors. The lack of disclosure is troubling for two reasons. First, voters use information about donors to evaluate the campaign messages. You know what I mean? And voters should know when Chevron or a big union is behind a social welfare group with a nice sounding name like America for a Strong America, Americans for a Strong America. Even more importantly, disclosures provide the press, the public, with, tools to smoke out some legislation, sweetheart deals that members of Congress might be offering big spenders. If we are going to be, in a world without effective limits on campaign spending, and the Supreme Court seems quite unlikely to reverse the course of this point at any time soon. So disclosure is the second best solution to try to limit the legislation's leaning caused by large amounts of outside money. Sunlight can help expose the worst abuses of the political system wrought by unregulated money. Rather than breathing easy, opponents of big unclosed outside money in politics need to continue to press the case to reform the beginning of the desperate need to fix our laws requiring disclosure about spending big bucks on our elections. So, that's what we got to do. You know what I'm saying? When I come back, I'm going to talk to y'all, about the ideology of the GOP, because that's where their problem is at. A lot of people feel that their ideology is wrong, the things they stand for, And some people feel that they'll never, ever, ever be able to, attract. Because they have to track Latinos, they have to track more African-American, they have to track women, they have to track gay people. There's no more a bunch of old white men just going to be sitting down and saying, this is what it is. And I've seen a lot of those guys was really offended. They didn't like the fact that they were saying that their party is just an old bunch of angry white men now. But when it comes down to it, that's what it is. When you look at all these guys and all the guys in Congress, these guys are old. They're the youngest, they that's why they have to push people like Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush, because those are the young guys in the campaign. They don't have too many young guys. They don't have too much of the future. They don't have nothing. You know what I'm saying? Republicans are consoling themselves with the claim that President Obama didn't win a mandate Tuesday night. And if he did renew his White House lease for another 4 years, they are fooling and they are fooling themselves. However, if they think that the 2012 election merely ratified the political status quo, they should take that more than just a personal victory for Obama. The outcome was unmistakable defeat for the GOP ideology. Yeah, disgruntled conservatives, of course, already dressing Mitt Romney for the part of the fall guy, you know. But this politics of evasion sooner or later, this was going to hit the politics of, you know, they was going to say that about Mitt Romney sooner or later. GOP realists will have reapprised the party's message rather than shoot the messenger. You know, repraise the party's message, and that's the realist. The real people in the GOP understand that, listen, we can't say it was the messenger. We have to, it's the message that we sent in. That message was a call for rolling back government, intoxicated by a potent brew of resurgent libertarian dogma and intense personal animosity towards Obama. Republicans vowed to undo his major achievements, health care reform, new rules of the for the financial markets, the regulation of carbon emissions, higher fuel and economy standards for autos, and so on. This is what they conservatives also railed against the alleged academic of dependency on the government, called for deep spending cuts but no tax hikes, to reduce public deficits, threatened to roll back women's reproductive rights, and took extreme positions on tax, immigration, and energy issues that seemed to calculate it toward bipartisan compromise. You know, that seemed that could make a bipartisan contract. Such that the Tea Party radicalism seemed to, like, work in 2010 amid acute public dissatisfaction with the slow pace of the economic recovery that was going on back then. But a different electorate, a larger, more moderate, and more democratic, rejected the conservative people's visions this time around. It wasn't going to happen like it happened in 2010. In effect, the pragmatic center reasserted itself on Tuesday, according to exit polls. A purity of voters, 41% were moderates, and they favored Obama by 41% were moderates, and they favored Obama by 15 points in the general. Voters viewed Obama as more for the middle class, and Republicans as tending towards the interests of the rich. They did not accept Romney's claims that Obama has been incompetent, economic manager. Nearly half the voters instead blamed the weak economy on his predecessor, which we all know was George Bush. No matter what his brother Jeb Bush want to say, America blames George Bush. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how it happened. And, you know, all the GOPs sees demonization of Obamacare. The issue seemed to work for the president's favor. Exit polls say health care registered voters was the second most important concern. It's health care. All right? A distant second to the economy and jobs. Obama won a massively among these voters, and which you know suggests that the Republican promises to kill the health care reform have backfired by spurring greater intensity among advocates. You know what I'm saying? So between that and the voters, you know, the voter suppression, the Republicans, the message they sent was just people want just to come out there and kick your ass. Some Republicans point hopefully to the fact that the election barely changed the existing composition of political forces in Washington. That's true, but this was an election that they could have won. See, that's what they don't want to fear. This was an election that they could have took over everything. With stubbornly high employment and the president's low approval ratings, often below his previously, you can't win, often below 50%, threshold 50%, the Republicans had to eject to reality on their side. Instead, they blew it by indulging in pathological partisanship and ideological things that they was doing. So this is how it go down. The big question is now whether the Republicans will accept the lesson of their defeat or take refuge in a usual abyss. The biggest lesson, of course, is they lost because they picked the wrong candidate, a Massachusetts moderate who didn't give the country a clear choice between undiluted, conservatism or Obama's alleged ultra-libertarianism. The electric math is no better than Romney's budget math. You know what I'm saying? America lives slightly to the center right, but no party can succeed the center to win, you know? What Republicans really need to do is learn the new Democratic movement of the 90s and determine an effort by moderates and pragmatists to reassert control over their party's agenda and electoral strategies. You know what I'm saying? Whether they realize this is another matter, Democrats had to lose four out of five presidential races between 1968 and 1992 before they finally accepted their message that could be, you know, no longer controlled by electoral, you know, the majorities. The Democrats had to go at it five times to get it right. Republicans keep going back to Ronald Reagan, you know what I'm saying? And for there hasn't really been no, I mean, a lot of people won't say that Reagan was a great president, but he's the best great Republican president. Republicans don't have the luxury. Tuesday's result made it blindly obvious that the GOP political strategy of relying on almost every white voter, you know what I'm saying, already has reached a dead end, man. As expected, you know what I'm saying? The white turnout was 72% according to the exit polls, and 2 points down from 2008 when McCain was running, and it is projected to be 2 points lower in 2016. The GOP's bet on the kind of white identity politics, you know what I'm saying, which date back into the successful Ronald Reagan run for governor in 1966 in California, where he was ruefully perfected by Richard Nixon in 1972, is played out, man. That's in the 60s and 70s before civil rights. People is not having it. Young America's confounded predictions and turned out to sort of Obama in record numbers this year. Young Americans, the people, you know, I don't know what they're saying. Young Americans, they were saying the young Americans is the ones that's not going to respond. The young Americans is the one that's not going to do this. Young America came out. Young America can't. And meanwhile, while National Journal, the National Journalist, Ronald Brownstein calls the Democrats' coalition of a ascendant. It's growing by about the same amount every 4 years. The coalition includes minorities, young voters, women, especially single women. So we're going to get into some more music right now. It's your man DJ Big. We're going to go on a 60-minute non-ride, man. We in the building. I'm about ready to rock tonight. We on Beef Stew Radio. If y'all with me, let me know. How we going to be more political when we get back.
Yeah.
Radio. We gonna rock real big. This is how we do it on an Uptown Saturday night. We gonna take it to the top. I'm gonna rock the house all night tonight, y'all. So I'm really feeling in a good mood because my President Obama is the president.
I need no more convincing.
Malak Club DJ. Hot Club DJs, we got the streets. Y'all can have the rest.
missing a beat. Yeah. Boy, was it neat. Yeah. Not just me, she was totally neat when she did the freak with me.
Never missing a beat. Yeah. Boy, was it neat.
It didn't work, no.
It wasn't funky no more.
She was happy. She was happy. She was happy. She was happy.
The world on fire. Little girls are standing on the wall.
Get your back up off the wall.
Tell me, how you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance by standing on the wall?
Get your back up off the wall.
Well, I heard all the people saying,
get down on it.
Come on in.
Get down on
if
it.
If you really want it.
I've got
DJs, we got the streets. Y'all can have the rest.
Went to Florida,
went to Obama, 49.1% went to Romney. 48%, the only thing that the boy won was North Carolina, and he couldn't, you know, the roll was short by just winning North Carolina, and he won that by a small margin. You know, the race was a close race in certain states, certain polling states. As North Carolina proceeds, Romney won that state by 50.6%, and Obama won, he lost actually, but that state, North Carolina, by 48.4%. Ohio, Obama won 50.1% and Romney 48.2%. Now, as y'all know, Ohio was one of the biggest states they was mainly concerned about what they was basically talking about. Bob White, he's a close friend and advisor to Romney. He's Romney's close friend and advisor. He was well prepared to tell a waiting audience to the crowd that that Mitt Romney was not yet ready to concede. They were basically getting ready to come out there and say, listen, it's not going to happen. We're not going to concede. We don't believe it. You know, they was getting ready to do it. As Romney, you know, as Aaron Romney cried softly, he headed down to deliver his speech and his second and presumably last bid for the White House, for his second and presumably last bid. As evidence of the Romney campaign's sincere belief that the former Massachusetts governor would emerge victory on Tuesday night, you know what I'm saying? Like the Boston Globe had reported for him Thursday, that it has been planned to beat Romney's election with an 8-minute display of fireworks over the Boston Harbor. They had paid money and everything, right? They had money paid. They had this already set up. You know, he just knew he was going to win. It was not an intense, you know what I'm saying, grand finale type of display for 8 minutes, but certainly was a fast-paced show to cap off the evening if it was necessary. You know what I'm saying? And that was said by Steve Pelkey, and that's the CEO of the Atlantis Professional Fireworks Display. You know what I'm saying? He came out and spoke on some stuff, man. So, you know. Another thing is Obama won the popular vote by 50.5%, and Romney got 47.9%. Now, if you've seen a lot of the Fox News and the skew polls, a lot of these polls, a lot of these dudes right now, these posters, now they losing their jobs. A lot of these dudes took Romney mad ahead, and it turned out to be he wasn't ahead at all. Romney also told reporters on his campaign plane this week that while he had written a victory speech, he didn't even write a concession speech. So you know what they was doing at the end of the thing. He had to write the concession speech in the back, you know? And that's really cocky of him to say that I'm not going to write a concession speech. But this is what's going on. Now, I'm asking you, he's taking the fall right now. This guy, he's taking the fall. And do y'all feel that's fair? Because if they blaming him, then that obviously means that they haven't found, you know, they haven't, you know, said to themselves, okay, it's us. You know what I mean? It's us. Now, something that was deep that I'm going to be, you know, that I don't really understand what this is about, but some in the, you know, there's a lot of people in the GOP and the Republican, you know, on their team that's mad about this little situation right here. The situation recently is that Governor Christie, right, he called Obama to thank him, you know. Like, in the hierarchy of the human communication, a call is definitely worth more than an email, you know what I mean? And that's why telling the following President Obama re-election victory on Tuesday night, Judge GOP Governor Christie called Obama to congratulate him while Senator Mitt Romney merely a consolation email. You know what I'm saying? And Christie basically said, we didn't have a political strategy discussion. Christie said, I said, congratulations on your win, Mr. President. He says, thank you. Basically, and that's what Christie said went down. You know, asked if he had called Romney yet, Christie started, no, we exchanged emails last night. We haven't spoken yet on the phone. So I wonder how this would play out when we talk Republicans. Christie, who was the top Romney supporter throughout the presidential campaign, is already being blamed by some of the GOP for the election loss because he had the audacity to publicly praise Barack Obama's handling of Hurricane Sandy that we just had recently in New York. The governor has rejected the criticism, saying his actions were not politically motivated. His town was hit, you know? What y'all expect? New judge was hit, regardless of conservatives' desperate scapegoat to get anybody to scapegoat someone for Romney's loss, you know, they will see Christie goes up to Obama as dissing Romney. And, but Christie is, he's not the type of guy that's just going to let you blame him. He's not the type of guy that's going to stand there and talk. So that's going to be real, real interesting to see that goes along through the thing. But once again, me personally, I think the GOP has not learned their lesson. You know what I'm saying? And 4 days after the election, the Electoral College tally up now stands 332 Barack Obama, 206 Mitt Romney. With the Sunshine States addition, Obama has taken all eight states out of the nine. It's taken eight states out of nine swing states. How would that? Now, do the GOP learn about the lies? Do that? Do they feel that they lied themselves out of a championship? You know? What we learned in 2002 election is that there are not enough white male voters left in America to give the Republican Party a victory in the national election. So the GOP must be more liberal and inclusive and expand their voter suppression efforts against minorities. That's what they tried to do. While minority voter suppression might be effective in the short term, the next federal election, white male voters will make up the base of GOP, will be outnumbered by other voting blocs. You know what I'm saying? Even the most blatant vote tampering and voter suppression efforts may not even be enough to produce a win for the GOP no more, man. You know, as they see now, they got blown out with it. They had numerous things with voter suppression, and they tried it. The Republican base is shrinking because the Republican message is narrow and based almost entirely on fear. If you looked at a lot of stuff with the Bush thing, Bush used to always play fear to America. You know, he used to always play like danger, and he never caught Barack Obama. I mean, he never caught Bin Laden. You know, he never caught none of the people that he had to caught. Barack has caught all of, you know, the Al-Qaeda and Taliban guys that did that. Their motivation tactics, the Republican, their motivation tactics are rooted more in conspiracy theories more than actual truth. This became more apparent when Mitt Romney tried to scare higher voters into false claims about Christ Jeepler shipping their jobs off to China. Now, that could be something real deep. Not only that, at the end of the election, you put out a commercial about that, and to the point where Chrysler had to come out and speak. And the claim was rebuked by Chrysler CEOs, you know what I mean, and as completely false. But instead of backing down, the Romney campaign doubled down on the line with even more television and radio ads. You know, and the thing about it, this is Ohio. Ohio, you know, the Ohio voters knew Romney was lying. Some of his prudents believed it would cost the GOP Ohio's 18 electoral votes. You know, some of his own people were like, yo, this is going to cost us the vote. But for some reason, I don't know if that's the way to land in the business world, like we just lied to get to the top. Maybe that's what we do. The 2002 Romney campaign was all about promoting fear through false claims. In the first presidential debate, the audience, about 62 million, watched Mitt Romney deny a massive tax cut plan the candidate had posted on his website for more than a year. He had that posted on his website for more than a year. And Republicans pundits denied shrinking unemployment numbers and all the positive signs that the Obama administration had brought to the economy, you know what I'm saying, that things was coming back. Women's rights and education and the green energy, they shrunk the numbers. They lied about everything. A lot of the numbers is out now. You can go check out. They got websites that you can check out on the green energy. They got websites you can check out on the women's rights, on how many things Obama's, you know, signed in for women, you know what I'm saying, and you can see how many jobs have increased. The jobs are truly increasing. Now, the problem with this message, for the most part, that the Republicans are sending, that there was no positive business for the future coming out of Romney camp. You know, there was no positive message. It was all bad moves aimed at scaring people how tragic it would be if we get Obama in there again. There was nothing else. The GOP worked hard for 4 years to demonize the beautiful president. You know what I'm saying? The right-wing media voices called him a foreigner. They called him a socialist. Anti-American agenda. They also lit the fire of racism on the primary white base. Now, Ole Miss, there was a lot of kids going out fighting and all that, saying that. If you guys, I'm going to say this loud. You guys go to your little towns and y'all make noise. You really want a problem? People from Ole Miss, those 400 people that was out there, why y'all ain't go to Compton? Why y'all ain't go to Little Rock, Arkansas? Why y'all ain't get your cargo to Little Rock, Arkansas? Why y'all ain't go to Cali? You know what happens when you come to New York. You know what happens when you come to New York. I'm damn sure you ain't coming to Harlem with that crap. You've been beat down straight up. All right, Obama may want to be the ones that do it all like that, but there's a lot of blacks and Hispanics and people out here that don't have a problem with whipping some racist person ass. And most of you people that be talking this race war stuff like car rolls and all that, you dudes ain't even going to be nobody fighting. You dudes ain't even soldiers. You dudes ain't even built for this. You dudes are going to be hiding somewhere, but it's not going to happen like that. If something goes down, you dudes are going to be the first ones to be gotten, man. I'm telling you, man. You dudes need to stop running your mouth and saying this racist stuff and stop trying to stir stuff up, because let me tell you something, gangs been fighting every day. You dudes don't fight every day. All right? Gangs multiply, they fight every day. Yeah, you might have a little bit of money, but gangs, a lot, as you can see, money can't solve everything, and you ain't the only ones with money no more. So you need to stop the car roll, you know what I mean? Because now Mitt Romney, he don't have no Secret Service agents walking with him, and neither do you guys. You guys have money to pay yourselves some security and all that, but trust me, man, if you guys really had a problem where it got to be Million Man March on your asses, your security couldn't even do nothing. Your security would be just victims, too. So I think you guys need to stop. You know, you need to change the plan. Stop trying to make some rules, divide the country, which is not working, because the country don't want to be divided. It's going to be a lot of people against you. It's going to be a lot of races against you guys. And that's what it's going to come at the end, you know? So let's face that. A look back at what actually happened in the last 4 years says something entirely about life in America. You know what I'm saying? Like it did before the first black president ever took seat in the Oval Office, man. Deception has been the state level where Republicans control legislatures and have their power to attack women's reproductive rights, and rights to voting rights and union rights. But the unions came out strong. And like I told you, I say that still, Big Stu, DJ Big Stu, you know, I'm an injured, retired on disability. Got hurt on the job, but I am a local 237 Teamster, and I'm proud of that to this very day. All right? So I'll let you know, you know, it's all about that. Now, the fear versus truth. Romney's biggest mistake that day may have been thinking American voters were stupid, you know, after all. After being caught calling half of the population lazy, government dependent freeloaders, in a secret tape video where he spoke about the 47%, which revealed the real Mitt Romney. Y'all all seen that. And while that kind of talk may have appealed to the GOP white male base, the rest of the country wasn't going for it. They ain't forget about that 47 joint. You know what I'm saying? The Republican ideal of America is controlled by rich white men. The same thing that you always seen. The same punks that all they do is use their money. They're not soldiers. They don't have no fight in them. You can look at them. Look at them all. They don't have no fight in them. They'll be the first one hiding, and when it all goes down, they're going to be somewhere trying to call a press meeting, and all you dummies that run out there and fight in the courtroom, when you run up against a wrath, you'll be getting beaten down, and you find out that it wasn't worth it, and where them dudes are going to be out in your base. See, one thing about the poor, everybody fights, from young and old. No, that's what you don't really understand. People of oppression, you've seen it. You've seen it with the riots, many riots. You've seen it. You've seen how it could get. And the thing is, there's a lot more gangs than it was in the 60s and the 70s. Way more gangs now. You know what I'm saying? And I'll tell you that in a second. Because the gangs are the stronghold of the poor. When things hit rock bottom and it's time to really hit the streets and protest for the people, you can best believe all the gangs be there. And the gangs are tremendously deep. You know what I mean? Tremendously deep. You mix all the gangs, black, Puerto Rican, Mexican, white, not even the white gangs, that it'll be against the white, but it'll be just, you might just have skinheads and Ku Klux Klan fighting for them. But then even so, they not going to fight for dudes that don't fight their own battles after a while. You know, they'll take the money to pay to fight the battle, you know, for a while. But after a while, you know, a long, hard battle, you lose men. you lose people, and then sometimes the money can't pay. Then sometimes money is not good enough. So they're not even going to fight because, you know, they probably even believe that you got, you know, they stand up for what they believe. They ball for what they believe. For Karl Rove, do he do? He just pay. You know what I mean? Karl Rove just pay the money just for what he do. The other little man, the rich man in a wheelchair. You in a wheelchair, Pop. Real talk. You in a wheelchair getting rolled around. That's crazy. Yes, you can pay to get a lot of things done, but just think about it. You ain't really never been into nothing. You ain't never been in no ghetto shit. And let me tell you, if somebody puts you on the wheelchair, they can't do that much and some ghetto shit pop off in front of your building. Understand that truly. All right. After Election Day, at the Wednesday breakfast, Romney told donors he believed Hurricane Sandy stunted his momentum in the final week of the campaign, according to multiple donors present. That may be partly true, but Romney's momentum had begun to falter long before the weather changes. For years, the GOP has been alienating voters with the ideological, you know what I mean? They've been alienating voters with the ideology right ring and right out, you know what I'm saying? They've been alienating women, blacks, Hispanic, Asian Americans are not a part of their version of what's best for America. The conservative Republicans, these are the people to be shut out and isolated from their government. You know what I mean? These are the people that they want isolated from their government. Perhaps their voice really does mean America is caught up in a dynamic tide that would inevitably wash away old ideas that the Republicans, you know, and the Republicans right now is destiny for distinction, man. You know, they destiny for extinction. They're going to be extinct. I'm telling you, believe what I said. Because of people like Karl Rove, and he's seen the things, oh, because I blame Romney's loss. They blaming me for Romney's loss. Yes, they blaming you. It was good. You and the rest of the people with all the, and the dummy and the dumb governor in Ohio, we love y'all. Y'all made bold suppression. Y'all did the best thing in the world. You know what I mean? Well, once again, like I said, it's your man DJ Big Stu, man, and I don't think, you know, like I said, America is a nation of many colors, religions, ethnic groups, and the Republican Party is trying to discredit that rather than embrace it. And no matter what, that's a losing formula, man. It's been proven, no matter how much you brothers deny it. And one thing about America, man, we're going to, you know, a lot of people want to get rid of the Republicans, and we are on the hiatus to get rid of the Republicans right now. We are. We are. Everybody's getting together. This is like the movement. Get rid of the Republicans. Get rid of the old guys in the building. Get rid of the good old boys. We're tired. It's time to go, good old boys. It's a new generation in this game. Beast Stu Radio, we in here, baby.
I just can't get your eyes. DJ Big, DJ Big.
Baby, let me tell you, I've been watching. On
got to give a big, big shout out to my homeboy, Jamie Groover. Just hit me up all the way from Atlanta. You know what I mean? Doing this thing down in Atlanta, man. Big shout out to Jamie Groover, man. He just hit me up on the joint, man. I ain't heard from him in a long time. Big shout out to the whole Groover family anyway, man. Grew up with them. Used to go to church with them back in the days, man. Playing this joint right here reminds me of hanging out with them. Let's get into it, y'all. We in the building.
Spirit of the sensual. DJ.
Thank you.
with the groove I only got, we shall all be moved. Ready or not, here we come, getting down on the one which we believe.
Down the for the
nothing stopping us now. We one nation under a groove. We're trying to make a movement. We're moving forward. We're using the word free as free for real. So for all you old Republican men, it's time to change. Time is now. Better hurry up before it's too late. The time is passing you guys by. Soon all you guys will be out of office. Soon we will get every single Republican out of office. You guys will just be somebody sitting on the sideline. And Rush Limbaugh, he won't even exist. He don't even make sense. I think I'm getting some overtime right now. I'm hitting some turntables right now. I'm going to get a little overtime. I'm going to do it overtime. I'm going to take us a little overboard on Beast 2 Radio. I know my time is over, but I'm going to go a little overtime. That's how I'm going to do it. Stay with me, y'all.
I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready.
Hispanic.